At this time of year, there are all kinds of almanacs that come out, a listing of important days and times in the year in advance. But for readers, those famously impractical folk, dreamers all, A Book of Days is a pleasurable treasure hunt going far beyond births and deaths and publication dates. Eight-time Jeopardy champion Tom Nisley's A Reader's Book of Days, True Tales from the Lives and Works of Writers for Every Day of the Year, is a day-by-day literary companion, part love letter to literature, part charming guide to the books most worth reading. It's a collection that features bite-sized accounts, both real and fictional, for every day of the year. It's a great pleasure to welcome Tom Nisley to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe.
Well, it's a pleasure. What got you thinking in this way of doing something day-to-day that is so connected to writers and their work?
Well, I just wanted to write the kind of book that I love to read. I mean, I think you can tell from this book that I'll read anything, and I love all kinds of books, but there's a particular kind of book that I have an affection for, a reference book, but not one that's just filled with facts, but one that tells hundreds or thousands of tiny little stories, and that has a kind of personality and a sensibility behind them. And I'm fascinated with writers' lives, and I love to recommend books, and so I wanted to do that, fill a book with those kinds of things.
So I was interested because I always wonder how you actually compile these things. And it seems from the introduction that the way you did is you would sort of, it took you a year to do, and you would collect day by day the various things that you wanted to include.
Yeah, well, I learned pretty quickly that you can't do it day by day. You can't just go into the library and say, okay, give me April 4th. I mean, you can find who was born on that day and who died on that day. But if you actually want to find good stories, I ended up going with writers. So I would walk into the library literally every day and just say, okay, let's do Poe and Colette and, I don't know, Tolkien today, and just start pulling biographies from the shelves and books of letters and diaries and just start combing for good stories.
And you were looking for anything that had a date, right? So if there was something that happened that was mentioned in Moby Dick, then that could be included, whereas if a prominent author was born on that day, that could be included as well.
Yeah, fiction or the lives of writers, but it all had to happen on a day. So everything in the book, whether it's from a novel or from a writer's life, is based on something that happened that day.
So you get several nuggets for each day then.
Right, right. Yeah, I tried to have, you know, three little stories, and then I would sprinkle in tiny little events or facts on that day too. So it's not just one story per day, but a mix, pretty often very mixed mix.
You tell us that who was born on that day, who died on that day, and then there will be these stories, and they can go back way, way, way back, or it could be something from 2005.
Yeah, or 2013. I was
right.
Still, you know, as we were working on the, you know, working on the proofs, you know, I think Chinua Achebe died in March, and I said, can we add that? And I think one of my most recent ones was one that I love was last year. Philip Roth wrote an open letter to Wikipedia that The New Yorker published because he was upset that an article about one of his books didn't interpret it, or it said that he had sourced it and just kind of gotten the story from somewhere where he said, I didn't get the story from there. So, but then when he objected, they said, well, we need a source for this. And he's like, I'm the author. But so he wrote a letter to an open letter to Wikipedia that New Yorker published so he could have something to cite to Wikipedia to say that this is why I wrote the book, not what was listed in the encyclopedia.
One of the nuggets from November 13th is you talk about the year 1849 and say Herman Melville paid half a crown to stand on an adjacent roof to watch the execution of Mr. and Mrs. Manning, convicted murderers in London. How do you find that out?
Well, there's actually a great book. It's one of the inspirations for this book called The Melville Log that was written, I think, in the 50s, back when people were rediscovering him. And a scholar named Jay Lyda, who's a fascinating guy in his own right, he just went through Melville's life really day to day and pulled in everything that he had happened, letters from his family, like articles from his community newspaper, just anything that would give a flavor of his life. And it's not a traditional biography. He has very little to say himself. He just pulls in document after document, and it's just well, that book was very useful.
And other writers, Dickens is quoted in here a lot, obviously. Uh-huh. So I assume there are sources for given writers that prove to be very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, especially writers, those great writers, their lives are so well documented, either by themselves, so someone like Virginia Woolf, who kept this incredible record in letters and diaries of her life, but then there's also people like, you know, Kerouac, who wasn't, you know, he wasn't keeping a meticulous diary, but he just lived so fully in his days, and people have spent so much time recording them that there's this incredible trove. I mean, I could write 10 more books that are equally packed with events like this.
One of the things that I really enjoy about the book is that you have a recommended reading list for each month. So what makes a good August book, for example?
Well, August, I think when I started this book, I was a little worried about August because I'm not sure, you know, August is kind of the month when nothing happens. But actually, I think especially for novelists, August is kind of a good metaphor. They love to talk about, you know, it's the dog days, it's the doldrums, it's when you're kind of idle and, you know, fanning yourself. And there's a great line in Pynchon's V that says, "Wars begin in August." And I think the implication is because everybody's bored and hot and needs something to do.
So when it comes to the recommended reading list for any given month, it really didn't have to have anything to do with that month. It was just something that you thought would be good reading for summer or fall or whenever.
Right. It often is books that are set in that month, but then it could just be something that, you know, it does seem right for that time. Like in August, Kitchen Confidential, Anthony Bourdain's great memoir, I put it in August because that's when he tasted his first oyster. And that's kind of the, you know, the formative moment at the beginning of that book.
When you start something like this, are there days that you're struggling? You know, oh my God, I have nothing for March 18th.
Yeah, no, there were gaps in my spreadsheet, and I thought at the end, kind of in the end game of the book, that I would really be struggling to find something. But there is so much out there that it was more a problem of finding good stuff that I couldn't put in than finding a day where there was just nothing to say.
And even on the days where it comes up short, as you say, there's always something, but then the standards still remain where it's specific to what you're looking for. You didn't have to compromise at all.
Yeah, yeah, and there'd always be someone who was born or died on that day, who's light, you know, someone maybe a writer not as well known whose little life story I'd love to just tell to someone who might not know about it.
When you think about putting out something like this, and as I mentioned, not only an 8-time champion on Jeopardy, former editor at Amazon, where you launched their books blog, you obviously care a lot about books, you care a lot about writers, and this is something that I assume is designed, as you said, it's the kind of book that you would want to read, but for readers and writers, this is a gold mine.
Oh, thank you, yeah. And I really wanted to make a book. I think even coming from Amazon and seeing how books have totally transformed into ebooks and so many people are reading that way, I still wanted to write a good old-fashioned book. And I think this is, you know, a book that you would kind of sit with you and as a physical thing, and it's beautifully illustrated. And, you know, that was important to me, not just that this could have been a blog. I could have just done a post every day with something that happened, but I really wanted to make a book.
Realizing that Jeopardy is doing a Decades of Champions, are you going to be going back on the show?
Well, they chose 42 people to go back, and then they left the last three spots for a fan favorite vote. And actually, I was part of that vote a couple weeks ago. And so I think we're going to find out early December whether I get to go back and play one more time, which I would love to do.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
And good plug for the book. It's good marketing.
Yes, absolutely.
The title of the book is A Reader's Book of Days. It is published by Norton. Tom Nisley, thank you very much for sharing with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is A Reader's Book of Days. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.